Good morning, everyone. Is this working all right? Oh, good. It's great to be back with you. It's a lot of exciting things happening at Macquarie. It's great to hear the homework club starting up. That sounds like a really exciting ministry, so we'll keep that in our prayers. Thinking of prayer, let's come before our Lord now in prayer. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to gather together and worship you on a Sunday morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can do this with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you, Lord, too, that you've given us your scriptures to guide us and direct us in our worship of you. And Lord, as we study Psalm 73 this morning, Lord, we pray that you would be with all of us. Through your Spirit, may you open our eyes to see your truth in the scriptures. May you be with me also, Lord. May I speak clearly and faithfully to your word. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. One of our good friends, Joanne, lives in some units over near in Top Ryde. And just before Easter, we had dinner with her. Now, during the dinner, she said to us, "I'm looking forward to going to the opening day of the Easter show." It was just before Easter. And I thought to myself, why is she wanting to go to the opening day? And I actually asked her, is it because the crowds are not so big on the first day? And she said, no. The reason why I go on the first day, and I go there first day every year, is because that's when a lot of the judging happens. And to some extent, you get to vote on what's the best exhibit. See, for Jo, her favourite part of the show is going to look at all the prize-winning roses and the prize-winning roosters and sheep. That's the best part of the Easter show for her as well. Now, I have to confess that I haven't been to the Easter show for a number of years. And the last show I went to was the McLean show, a little country show where I used to live. And I have to confess that I made a beeline for the exhibits as well. You know, it was exciting to know whether or not some members of our congregation had won the prize for the best Christmas pudding or the best hand-decorated card. That was the best thing about the show for me. Of course, when I was a young boy, the best thing about the show was the rides. Now, my favourite ride was the one I think they called the Spider or the Zinger or something like that. It had four arms that went out like this, and the four arms turned around. And then on each arm, it had another four things that would turn around as well. So if you were in one of those cars, and you were turning on the small wheel the same time the big wheel was going, you'd go really fast, and then you'd come to sort of a stop, and you'd go really fast in the opposite direction. Now, when I was a boy, that was my favourite ride. It was even better than the Dodgem cars. I would get off the ride and I would run around and queue up again to have another turn. Well, I was excited to learn a couple of years ago when I was at an open day at my daughter's school, they had exactly the same ride. And I said to my daughters, "Let's go on this one." And they said to me, "Dad, are you sure?" And I said, "Yes, this is the best ride ever. Let's line up for this one." Well, it was about 10 seconds into the ride, and I'd realised I'd made a mistake. It seems like they must have changed it somehow. Because when I was younger, it used to be fun. But this, I was on it for 10 seconds, I was starting to feel motion sickness. My daughters are having a great time, but I'm thinking, when does this thing stop? This is not how I remember this ride. This is not the way it's meant. It's meant to be a fun ride. And here I am feeling sick. Well, sometimes we can feel that way in life. We think life is meant to be fun. Life is meant to be joyful. We're Christians. We're meant to be joyful. We're meant to have lots of blessings. But sometimes in life, it turns out not the way we like to be. And that's what's happening in Psalm 73, which is written by a person called Asaph. And see, Asaph is not doing well in life in the opening verses. Now, it changes midway through, but for the first 14 verses, he's looking around and he's seeing people prospering and doing well, and he's jealous of them. He envies them. It's only then in verses 15 to 17, he comes into God's temple and he realizes God's holiness, and then he changes. So we're going to walk our way through the psalm. It's 28 verses, so we'll do it in sort of chunks. So we'll do a couple of verses as we go, but we'll see the psalm in those two parts. The opening section, where we feel with Asaph his bitterness or his envy at those who are prospering. And then we'll see his change in verses 57 and then his praise of God. Well, the psalm begins with Asaph describing, surely God is good to Israel. You see, he knows God is good. He knows from the histories he's read his Bible, he's read his scriptures. He knows how God has rescued people in the past, how he's brought his forefathers out of slavery, how he was good to the patriarchs, how he was good to God's people. Surely God is good to Israel, he says. But as for me, my foot was slipping. Why? Because verses 3, he looks around and he sees the wicked prospering. He sees those who are not following God's way. They seem to be the ones who are doing the best in life. What's more, he says in verses 4 to 5, it seems like they have no struggles. It seems like everything is good for them. And so he's envious and jealous. And then what's more, he says, he sees just how wicked they are in verses 6 to 9. They become proud. They are violent. They speak evil of others. Their hearts are callous. Their imaginations have gone wild. They claim to own the earth with their tongue and their mouth, and they claim to own the heavens as well. And what's more, verses 10 to 11, they're popular. People want to be like them. And so he summarizes in verse 12, this is how the wicked seem to be. They seem to be prospering. But as for me, I'm following God's way and I'm not prospering. Something is wrong. It doesn't seem quite right. Well, after we were married, my wife and I lived in Singapore for 5 years. And if you haven't been to Singapore, it's a great place to go for a holiday and to live. And one of the things in Singapore is they have these things called hawker centres. Now, if you've not been to Singapore, hawker centre is kind of like a food court. But every hawker centre has a best stall or best dish. And usually that hawker centre is famous for a particular dish. So it might be Adam Road chicken rice, or it might be Katong laksa. Now, whenever you go to one of the hawker centres, there'll be the famous stall, which the centre is popular for, and it might be chicken rice. And then there'll be three other stalls that also sell chicken rice, that they're cashing into the fame of the other one. Now, when you go into a hawker centre, the way that you find out which is the best one, where the best food is you look around, you see the longest queue. And you just join in and follow in on the longest queue. Now, imagine you're there in a hawker centre in that longest queue. And you're looking around, and you see someone else come in, and they're going to the chicken rice stall with no queue. And they sit down, they start eating, and there you are sitting, waiting in the heat, wondering, maybe I could go to that one too. Maybe I could swap queues. Maybe that would be better for me as well. Well, that's kind of what it is for a life as a Christian. You see, we're actually in the best queue. We're waiting to be in God's presence eternally. We know that when we get there, we'll have such a great inheritance. We'll have such great blessing in his presence. We know that. But sometimes when we look around in this life, we see that those who are not Christians seem to be prospering more than us. And the temptation is to be jealous and to envy them. And we might not say it out loud, but we think, well, we might find fault in that person as well. We might say, well, that person, well, they seem to be prospering. They seem to be happy. You know, but I bet their family life is not really good. We might find fault in them. We might get jealous and we might envy them. And that's the problem that Asaph was facing as in verses 1 to 14. But then in verses 15 to 17, he tells us that he went into God's temple. Now, he doesn't say why he changed, but if we could imagine what the temple was like in ancient times, there would have been sacrifices going on. So he was probably made aware of God's holiness, God's righteousness, and the only way to come into God's presence was through a sacrifice, which we, of course, know happened through Jesus for us. And so he's made aware of God's holiness and he repents and changes. He says, if I had spoken aloud back when I was thinking those thoughts, I might have caused other people to stumble, he says in verses 15. But now that I've come into God's presence, I realize that he is holy. And what's more, he goes on and says, in verses 18 through to 20, he realizes that God will hold the wicked accountable for their actions. He realizes if they're on a slippery slope, that one day they'll have to give an account for what they've done. That while it might seem that they're prospering now, God holds everyone accountable and will bring them to judgment. They are like a dream that vanishes, he says in verse 20. God will hold them accountable for their actions. Well, on Easter Friday I was here, and I mentioned that on Easter Saturday we're going to have a big movie night at Mossman. Now, last year we had a big movie night and we watched the movie Sing, and a lot of people came. This last Saturday we watched the Emoji film and nobody came. Well, except for my family and a couple of others. Now, I think it was because the Emoji film is not actually a very good one. I'd have to say it's one of the two worst films that I've ever seen. If you want to know the other one, it was Romeo and Juliet. So I'm not looking forward to going to see Sherlock Gnomes coming up. I think, I'm not against children's films. In fact, children's films are amongst my favourite ever. I love Finding Nemo. I love Toy Story 2 and 3. I think they're some of the best films ever made. But I've learnt not to watch the Emoji movie again. But I wonder, I think it would have been a better idea if I watched something like The Sound of Music. Now, The Sound of Music is a classic film, and I'm sure you've all seen it, and you've seen it many times, and I'm sure if it came on the TV this afternoon, you'd probably sit down and watch it again. It's a classic movie, and it's great because the music is wonderful, the scenery is beautiful, and the plot is quite engaging. Now, towards the end of the film, the Von Trapp family are forced to perform, and after they perform, they're trying to escape to Switzerland and get away. Now, in the climatic scene, they're running around at night through a graveyard, and they finally make it back to their car, and they drive off, and the Gestapo are right on their heels. And then they go into their cars, and they don't start. And then there's a scene that switches to the nuns, who've pulled out the cables from their car, and everybody laughs. They think it's a funny thing that the nuns have done this. And that's because it is funny. It is a delight to us to see the wicked being held accountable and judged for their action. It's good for us to see that the wicked don't prosper. Because sometimes we think that, don't we? Sometimes we can look around and feel jealous that someone has a better car than us, or that they've got a better house than us, or at their workplace, they seem to be getting a promotion when we don't. Sometimes we can look at the wicked and feel jealous. But it's nice to know that God does hold them accountable. He holds everyone accountable for their actions. And we are to trust in his goodness. Well, the final section of the psalm, verses 21 through to 28, the psalmist describes the greatness of God. Notice how he says, I will look forward to seeing you. I know that you hold my hand and you bring me safely home. He says that who do I have in heaven but you? He delights in God. He summarizes that the wicked, they'll be judged, verse 27, 28. But he longs to be in his presence. Well, I've got four daughters, and when I started having girls, I said to my wife, you know, I'm a boy. I don't know how to be a dad of girls. All I know how to do is play cricket and soccer. And my wife said to me, well, just do that with them and just talk with them. But as they're getting older, my oldest is now 16, I'm kind of losing track. I've got less to engage. So next week is a really exciting time for me because on the 17th of April, my oldest daughter is going for her theory test. Now, what that means is she's starting to learn to drive, and I'll get to spend 120 hours of, you know, daddy and daughter time together. I'm really looking forward to that. I shared that at the 8:30 service, and people said, are you sure you know what you're getting into? You know, this learning, teaching a daughter to drive is probably not the best thing to do. So hopefully I'll be back here next month, and you'll see me alive. But I'm actually really looking forward to it. Now, I'm looking forward to it because I know my daughter, because she's a very careful person. I know she won't take risks. I know she won't drive super fast. I know that she'll listen to my instructions and follow them. So I'm really looking forward to teaching her to drive. Now, my oldest is a careful driver because I'm a careful driver and she's watched me, and because my dad was a careful driver. Now, I don't remember my dad ever being caught for speeding. I don't remember ever my dad sort of overtaking when he shouldn't have overtaken. He was a very careful and cautious driver. And I remember very often, in the car with Dad, I would fall asleep. I had complete confidence in his driving. I trusted it. And I could just fall asleep. Well, that's the feeling that the psalmist ends with his psalm. He says, well, I know that life may be bumpy, but I trust the one who's driving. I trust God is in control. I trust that he'll hold me by his hand. And while life may not seem to be fantastic right now, I know God is with me. I know that he's holding my hand. I know that I have a great God in heaven who is my treasure and my delight. And I know that he will bring me safely home because he's a good God. I know that he'll hold the wicked accountable for their actions. I don't need to be jealous of them. I don't need to envy them. What we have as Christians is so much better. We have the love of the Heavenly Father poured out to us through his Son. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you are a just God. You are a righteous God, a holy God. We praise and thank you, dear Father, that you hold people accountable for their actions. Lord, forgive us when we envy the wicked. Forgive us, Lord, when we feel jealous of those around us who seem to be prospering. Help us to know, Lord, that all people are accountable to you. We pray for those who are going astray, Lord. We pray for those who are far from you that they might repent. And help us, Lord, to have trust and have confidence in you through the trials of life. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.